Okay. Get my notes up. Here we go. No, where are they? Okay, great. Okay. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with you all today. We've got our breakthrough questioning practicum. It's our third session in this module, and this is our opportunity to really practice our questioning skills and to learn from each other as we practice our questioning skills. We'll be running, we'll be moving through today's class similar to the listening practicum and the creating awareness practicum. I'll call a volunteer or two. I will try my best to interview them, but not to coach them so that we can get a lot of information on, whatever issue they want to bring forward. And then you will put together questions. But before we get there, I have a couple of questions for you. So the first one is, I'd just love to hear. I know a lot of you have been really sitting with this module and practicing questions and experimenting with questions, or maybe not, wherever you're at with that is exactly okay, unless you want to be in a different place. I want to know what you've been learning and noticing as you've been experimenting with questions, using some of the questions maybe that we've looked at together, thinking about questioning. What have you been seeing? What have you been noticing, either for your clients or for yourself? Sharon.
Hey there. A lot more space to really be listening in different ways and more open-ended questions and not as much stacking, or trying to kind of like complete it for them, which I sometimes do if somebody's really thinking and quiet. I sometimes still do really rush in to fill the space.
And what have you been notice what have you no been noticing for the clients as you've been giving them more space with the questions and not rushing in?
I think they're finding they're being more resourced, and the relational space feels more spacious as well.
Talk a little bit more about that.
I can feel them relaxing. It's funny because it's like I'm thinking, trying to think back to like a particular session. So it's like more relaxed because I'm not jumping in like being the expert or the consultant. And also maybe more on edge because I'm letting them rest back in themselves. Is that
So you're a
makes
little bit more on edge because you are on your edge with this, which makes sense. And it's not going to feel like that forever. And they're more relaxed and resourced.
No, and they're no, but they're also, I feel them a little more on edge because I'm not jumping into.
I see. I see.
Right. So it's kind of like relaxed, but also like, oh, I actually have to work this out for myself.
Do you think that's beneficial for them?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree.
And it feels a lot, it actually feels a lot freer for me.
Nice. I love that. Sounds like it's been some good experimentation. It's great to hear. Thank you. Kim.
One of the things that I find challenging, I'll say, is to remember what questions I have asked. I get so caught up in the present of working with someone and following them and being curious and taking them through a journey that I don't, it's not as conscious as I would like it to be. And I am having a hard time holding that. And I'm curious, do you ever write down after you've asked something, do you take a note about what you've asked? I often take notes about what they say,
yeah,
but I don't always take notes about me.
I think you're coming up with a great solution. I mean, that's what popped into my head, by the way, when you said it, like, I'll write down the questions. I think it's worth experimenting with, for sure. And I almost wonder if it will also, like, I don't know what the adjective is or the adverb I'm looking for, but do something to your questions as well. Like, it may shift the question, it may inform the questions that you're asking too.
So as my questions are observed, they may shift and change.
Yeah, exactly. If you do that, will you follow up with us in the Facebook group and let us know? Because I'm curious. I think it's a valuable exercise.
Well, and I just know that I'm in a point in my life where holding details of things is hard, and I need to do something to support myself if I'm going to be improving or growing through it. And I just have been realizing how much I'm just with them and not clearly following my own inquiry. So thank you.
Yeah, I love all of that awareness. And by the way, I think it's an asset that you're with them, you know, so deeply. And now it's just about bringing this other piece in more intentionally as well. Good. Catherine.
I am just so impressed with the questions, how powerful and leveraged they are, meaning that asking a question potentially opens up a lot for the client with one simple question. Well, one question, it's not always simple, but I'm also just, I appreciate about the question, you don't necessarily have to have the question right. Like, what I noticed is if I'm really there and I'm really listening, that if the question is a genuine question, you know, with the intention of it being about them and supporting them or reflecting to them and asking them a question about it, like, everything opens up. And that if I don't get the question right, it's okay, that I can say, you know, is this, you know, does that land for you? Or, and if it doesn't quite, then I can reframe it. So I appreciate that, because it's like we're in an inquiry together.
Yes, we're in an inquiry together, mm-hmm. Right? And that together piece is so important. And I love how you're saying, like, you don't have to get it right. You know, you've already heard me say many times, it's forgiving. It is a forgiving process. Mm-hmm. You want to have some things in place, like you're saying, like listening deeply, being fully present, all of those things. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. Chelsea.
Hi. I've been using that form that you sent, Joanna, that was like the extended sort of post-client session self-assessment. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of, when I first got it, I was like, oh, it's just like another thing. And then I did it once and I was like, oh, and I like printed out a bunch more because it was so helpful. And one of the questions that I really loved was that the question about like, what questions did I ask and what are some questions I could have asked differently? And I also had a hard time like remembering like, what did I ask? So I like Kim's idea of just like kind of taking note of that during the session. But one of the questions I remembered asking, and it didn't like do what I wanted it to, but my client was talking about her work with kids, and I could tell that she loved it. Like I could tell that it was important that she loved it. And the question I asked was, why do you like working with kids? And then I went to like your worksheet and I was like, oh, like how could I have asked that differently that would like get to where I wanted it to be? And the question I came up with was like, why is working with kids so important to you or so meaningful to you? And I was like, oh, I see that shift and how it like brings awareness for her, and it like leads us on like where we're trying to go. And it was just like, it was magic. So I highly encourage everyone to use those lovely worksheets that Joanna made for us.
I love this. First of all, I'm so happy that you're using the worksheets because I never know if anybody will. So yay. But what you just shared is like such a beautiful example of what we looked at in our first questioning class around language, right? Just, it's the same, the essence of the two questions that you said are the same, but just being a little intentional about the language can yield something very differently, or you know, have a different impact. So yeah. Thanks for that example. I think it's really helpful. Beautiful. All right, I'm gonna add another question for us here. So still, if you've got more to share around what you're learning and noticing about questions, you know, bring that into the conversation. And then this is a question that was brought up by one of you in an email exchange we were having, and I think it's such a great question, so I'm going to bring it forward for discussion here. How do you know if a question is coming from your intuition or your inner wisdom versus another source? How do you know if a question is coming from your intuition, your inner wisdom versus another source? Who's got some thoughts on that? Raka.
Hi. So what occurs to me is that if a question, if the response to the question is onward leading, like if it leads on to something like a deeper inquiry, a richer place, then I know I'm on track. I know that it's coming from like a wiser place inside me if it opens into territory that is leading onwards. And I know that it's not coming from a place of like wisdom if it feels like it doesn't, like there's not much movement. And also like from like the response that the person makes, I feel like that tells me if the question's coming from a wise place, like in terms of like how they, their facial expressions or the tone of the voice and so on, can also sort of help provide some information about whether that's a line of inquiry that is going to take us further.
Yeah, I love that. I want to just make sure I'm understood one part that what you said when you said like if there's forward movement, do you mean in terms of how the client answers or because you feel it inside of yourself?
Well, it's kind of both. I can kind of feel it energetically, but also in terms of like how the question maybe opens something new for the client as well. So
Yeah. So we can definitely, when a client answers based on what they share, and like you said, their voice or their expression, it's usually a good indicator where the question is coming from. Mm. Beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, LV, that could be another place, right? That the question isn't coming from intuition, but it's coming from inner critic or fear or trying to be a smarty pants. Catherine.
One of the distinctions for me that I'm starting to feel is my agenda behind the question. If my agenda is kind of not an agenda except to open up something for them, if they're my agenda, then that seems more from a wise place. When it's my agenda, like I want you to get to a certain place so I can be a smarty pants.
Yeah.
That's not intuitive.
Yeah.
And I can also tell because one tires me out and one energizes me in the client.
Ah, Beautiful. Okay, so two more important things here. So one is, you know, if the question is coming from it's about me versus it's about my client, chances are that's not coming from our intuition and our inner wisdom. It's coming from ego or a trigger or a wound, or, you know, of ours, right? So that's a great question to just sometimes ask ourselves, like, where is this question coming from? Is this question about me, or is this question about them, right? And then how we feel energetically, Raka spoke to this a little bit too, like how we feel when we ask the question can be an indicator. Great. Who else? What other thoughts do you have on this? How do we know that we're coming from our inner wisdom or our intuition? Anika.
Hi. For me, when it piques my curiosity, when I go, ooh, and that's when I was like, yep, it has to be asked, because if it's that strong and I'm that curious, it's somewhere to go.
I love that. And I love that we had the visual of that as you did that, because I've had that. I know that feeling exactly. It is that ooh feeling. Yeah, that's for me, I know that is an indicator for sure. Thank you. It's great. Bruce.
So proud of myself. I forgot to, I unmuted myself before I started talking. I don't think I've done that with you before. So we learn along the way here. I think of it like three levels. There's surface level questions that arise out of the kind of the present moment and the logic. And then I think for me, the wisdom questions you're talking about are coming from a subconscious logic that erupts out of me, where something's working underneath me and I'm putting things together, but I'm not aware of it on a conscious level, and it springs forth and it's surprising. Then I think there's a third level. There's actually a mystical question that doesn't come from you at all. There's a whole other source for it. And, yeah. And I don't think very many people can do that, but I think I know in my life, I've confused those two.
The second and third layers.
I've assigned questions as coming from a spiritual source, and they're really not. They're really coming from my intuition. I think it's a really sneaky ground, because it's like you get an extra, if I can say the question is really coming from some larger source, it has, you know, it feels to me like it has more power and impact and oomph to it. It's more important somehow. And I think I've fooled myself a lot of my life thinking they were mystical questions, but really they're intuition questions.
I love everything that you're sharing. I mean, it's making me wax philosophical, which I won't get into now, but we can have this conversation another time, because it will take the whole session. But I love what you're sharing, because my guess is that two things at once. Like my guess is that you're not alone in that. And I'm thinking for the times that I've been there, I don't think I'm just sharing this in case it's helpful. I don't even think I've understood definitively the difference between it coming from my intuition versus coming from spirit. I think I've just made them one and the same, but what if they're not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think they are at all. I think they're real different, yeah.
That's a really juicy thing to think about.
Well, when you get that figured out, will you bring it up next time?
Sure. Absolutely. Great. Chelsea.
Oh, that was such a good question. I'm so like deep into that right now that I kind of forgot mine. But it was that if I don't ask it and it keeps coming up, that is for me an indication that that's coming from my intuition and like that it needs to be asked. So it's sort of that like like I can sort of hold on to something while someone's talking and still like follow what they're doing. And I've gotten better at like shortening the amount of time, like stopping them and asking the question. And I think that my hesitation around that is like my own stuff. And so as I've worked through some of that, which I think is just like my own fear, it like allows that the intuitive questions to come out at the right time. So it's just been noticing when they want to be released, I guess.
When they want to be released. I love that. I love everybody's shares so different, but I think each one is so rich. And this idea of, you know, but the question keeps on coming back. That's definitely been an indicator. If I've checked all my filters, right, and I don't know, I know that it's not coming from about me, like Catherine said, if it's like, it's still in there, almost to the point you mentioned this, like, I can still track what the client is saying, but I'm like listening to the question, you know, almost as much in my head as I'm listening to the client. Oftentimes that, you know, that's an indicator. Yes. Thank you. You know, sometimes I'll have a question pop into my head. And it's probably coming from that second layer that Bruce was sharing about. And I'm like, I don't know why this question is coming up. You know, that the logical part of me still hasn't made the connection. You know, sometimes I'll just go ahead and ask the question, but other times I'll say, you know, I don't know why I'm asking this question. I preframe it sometimes, like, I don't know why I'm asking this question, but I just feel really called to ask it. Because sometimes if it seems like it's coming out of nowhere, you know, sometimes you just want it to come out of nowhere to make that impact. And then other times preframing it a little bit can help how it lands. All right, any other thoughts, learnings on questions before we move into our practicum time? Okay, so in a couple minutes, I'm going to go ahead and ask someone to be our courageous volunteer. And like I said, I'm gonna do my best to interview, to not ask any breakthrough questions, but to really just sort of pull information so that we all have a lot of different information and things to look at and think on. And what I want to invite everybody who is not the volunteer to do is, so this is the moment to really activate everything that we've learned so far together in Sacred Depth. So I want you to invite you to use your deep listening skills. As you listen to this client, I want you to be checking your filters, listening to yourself and your intuition. I want you to be thinking about, what do you want to create awareness on? And take all of that into consideration and write questions so you can kind of, you know, craft them as you're listening. I'll also give you time afterwards. I don't want to say it. Don't get too caught up in the words or that's not right, because we'll have time before shares for you to tweak things and words if you want. But just as questions come up, write them down as you're listening, remembering everything that we've looked at also in our last two sessions, all of those questioning foundations, like, you know, you don't want your question to ask a question from a place of expecting a particular answer or outcome. You want to think about, questions can sometimes help uncover patterns. You want to think of principle of choice, connecting the dots. Think about activating different levels of learning and transformation, or learning and processing too. Think about language, think about the tonality that you want to use when you ask the question. So, you have all of that be at play as you practice. And just as a reminder, this is like, we're just isolating, right? We're isolating the questioning muscle here. Okay. All that being said, who would like to volunteer? My notebook so I can take notes. Who'd like to be our volunteer? Dottie.
Eek, now I'm nervous.
Thank you for volunteering.
Thank you for asking.
And it's totally normal to be nervous.
Well, I felt that intuitive shove, so.
I'm so happy that you listened to it. So if you were to have a coaching session this afternoon, what's an issue that you would want to bring forward? What's something that you need, you're wanting support on?
I think messaging, I'm really, that's been really big for me lately, is figuring out my core message. I've been listening to your bonus materials, and I love that octopus exercise. I've been working on that, and I struggle, or I come up with too much thinking. I think too much anyways, but then I go down a million different rabbit holes, and or maybe it's one rabbit hole that's just really has a lot of depth. I'm not sure, but I get stuck when I try to come up with my core value message.
Tell us about the rabbit hole or holes. What are they?
They are like questioning, for instance, if acceptance were my core message, meaning when we're able to accept what is, we remove a lot of suffering, you know, a lot of mental anguish. And so one rabbit hole is, well, that's easy for me to say in the situation I'm in, but if it was somebody who is in a totally different life situation, that might feel insulting. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the rabbit holes. What is another one? That I have so many things that I want to offer and I don't know how to put them all together. So I go down that, well, if I pick one message, am I ignoring the other things that I want to offer? That's another big thing. I mean, that might not really have to do with messaging, but how to put everything together that I offer.
No, I think it is related, because if there's a fear that there are things that are gonna fall to the wayside, then it's gonna keep you stuck in knowing what that message is. So that might absolutely be one of the pieces. What else? What are some of the other rabbit holes or places you get stuck?
I think just confidence, really, that I can pick a message and stick to it.
Talk more about that.
Because I feel like on different days, I would pick a different message. So in, you know, for instance, acceptance is one, spirit level truth is one, or soul, well, yeah, spirit level truth. Peace of mind is another one. So depending on the day, I might choose a different belly of the octopus, if you will, or center of the octopus. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
I'm also not coaching yet. So I go down that, I get stuck there too, kind of like circling the drain there around, how am I going to offer coaching if I haven't been coaching? I do Akashic record readings, and those tend to be one-offs. And so it's hard for me to imagine how to create a 3-month container, or 6-month container. So I worry about that too. I get anxious in that that way.
Yep. I'm glad that piece came up right now too. It feels like that's an important piece in the mix here. Anything else? Any other rabbit holes? Stuck places where you get stuck?
I think that's about it. I mean, when you ask that, the thing that comes in, I think I've already said, is that how do I figure everything out? Or that feels like I'm trying to force, and I try not to force myself into stuff, but anyways, yeah. How can I put everything that I offer in a place that makes sense? In a message that makes sense.
Okay, great. And I'm just gonna I'm jumping all over the place just to pull information out of you. So I'm gonna jump a little bit. How do I wanna ask the question? What's the impact on you?
It keeps me stuck, keeps me from moving forward and just doing something. You know, I need to write new copy on my website. It's been the same copy for a couple years now, and it's just, I don't love it at all. And so it just keeps me in that, at least something's there place, but not willing to do something new.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of, it sounds like, tell me if I'm getting this right, just for all of us, this not deciding on a message is kind of really holding you back in sort of all the area. It's got tentacles into all of the areas of your business and really holding you back from moving forward. Yes. It's it almost feels like you're talking this message piece is the linchpin where you can either everything's going to flow or nothing's going to flow in a way.
Sounds right. Yes.
Okay. What else can I ask you for our purposes? I'm going to ask any coachy questions too much. Anything else that you want to share? I feel like our last practicum, I overcoached Mark a little bit. So holding back, I don't want to ask too much. Anything else that you want to share?
I don't know if this is related, but this module, the questioning has gotten me very much in my head, where I'm doubting myself because mm-hmm. I don't have clients to practice with. Mm-hmm. Am I going to be able to utilize this stuff once I do have clients? Will I remember that I'm learning this? So that's a piece too.
Yeah. And talk a little bit more about this experience of being in your head, because it feels, I have a feeling you're bringing it into this being stuck in messaging on purpose. You know, it feels like there's some connection there. So talk more about I forget the words you said, but you get to in your head and then you get stuck. You tell us more about that and that experience and just where else you know this from in your life.
My whole life, analysis paralysis. I remember somebody said to me once, and that's just sums it up perfectly. I analyze things too much, think about things too much. I suppose there's a concern of judgment in there too from others, mm-hmm. and what others might think. Fear that I won't pick the right message. So it's just this runaround.
Yeah. So right, with the analysis paralysis, it feels like that, right? And you just, even what you just described around the questioning and will I remember and will I be able to put it to use, and it is that it almost feels like you get enveloped in an energy there. What about this concern of judgment from others?
I think back to childhood, you know, I think all of us have that like experience. Well, I went to Catholic school, and there's a lot of judgment in Catholicism. No offense to anybody that practices Catholicism, but I found it to be that way, that not only from the religion itself, but then from all the other girls, and are you popular? Aren't you popular? Do they like me? What about my braces, my curl, you know, like just those kinds of things that are still a little bit stuck.
Yeah.
And probably a little bit of compare and despair with my middle sister too, who's very successful.
Yeah, tell us more about that.
She has her master's degree. She's just always been that go-getter. And I move very slow. I'm a slow processor. Because I'm a highly sensitive person. So I get overwhelmed by stimulus very quickly. Mm-hmm. She's not, she just, you know, she just moves through life with such ease, or parent ease. And she's started her own business and has failed and started another one. And she never lets anything set her back. Whereas I'm getting better at it, but I definitely have had times in my life where I'll be set back for a lot longer because of my sensitivity. I think, you know, just take it harder.
Yeah. And with the compare and despair with her, is it like, what specifically do you compare yourself on?
I think it's the sensitivity that I'm just realizing in this moment. Like, I wish I could be more, you know, I don't know, not as sensitive.
Yeah. What will be possible for you, or what do you think will be possible for you if you get clear on the message?
Well, I have a story that I will be able to figure out, like, because I'd like to have some more programs to offer. I'd like to generate more income. So I feel like then things will fall into place. I'll attract the right kind of clients. And I'll have more of an idea of my direction, where I'm really going with my business.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Anything else that comes to mind that you want us to know?
I don't think so. I think I dumped everything.
This was good. You gave us a lot. Awesome. Thank you. Okay. So you can also put your practitioner hat on now, Dottie, too, if it's possible. I'm going to give everybody, you know, another three-ish minutes. If you are the practitioner in this session, what are some things that you would want to ask the client? So write down some questions. What would be some good questions for this client? Give us another minute. And if you think you already wrote down all your questions, see if you can pull one more out. Maybe there's like a bonus question in there that you haven't thought about yet. Okay. I'll give you all another 30 seconds just in case anything else wants to come through. All right, so I want to hear what your questions are, not in the chat. I want to hear voice to voice so that you can also practice not just the language, but you can practice the tone that you would want to ask the question in as well. All the different pieces we looked at around the quality of our voices. I want to remind you not to be shy. So in general, I want to just invite you not to be shy. I want to invite, you know, if you normally don't raise your hand, please know that your voice is welcome here. And even if you're not 100% sure, like, of course, you know, the questions that were like, this is a real winner, right? Those are the ones that we want to share. For sure, share those. But sometimes it's like, can be even more meaningful to share the ones that we're not 100% sure on. Elvie.
Hi, yes. For me, something that stood out was about the sensitive part of, she brought back to her sensitivity being almost like a block in her sharing her message. So one of the questions I came up with was, what would not being so sensitive, or the wish not to be so sensitive, look to her? And how would that give her more confidence?
Nice. So it's a little bit of a visioning question around, you know, what would it look like to not be so sensitive?
And what I'm trying to get at is like, is that really in the way? I wasn't sure how to word it, but.
Okay. Sorry, your question made me think of another question. So I'm just writing that down. So what was your intention again?
To hone in, to really see if being sensitive is part of the stuckness she's feeling, or the, if that's really a limiting thing in her honing in her messaging and
Yeah.
Or just getting started with her coaching business, or, you know, there's so much in there.
Yeah.
But sensitive is
just so go with that. So I think there is a better question you can ask then around that. What comes to mind?
If being sensitive, I get tripped up with, because I feel like it's going to be too coachy, but if being sensitive was not a, you know, was not in the picture.
Yeah.
How would honing in your messages look to you, your messaging look to you? Or
So if you could take sensitivity out of the picture, that would be right. That would be one way to do it. Mm-hmm. And then some other, you know, based on what you're sharing, you know, some other ways to get in there could be, what if your sensitivity wasn't a liability? What if your sensitivity wasn't a liability? Or, and this is the one that I wrote down when you were talking, because I think I sensed that that's where you were going.
Mm-hmm.
How can you use your sensitivity as a superpower when you're working on your messaging? Right.
That's what I was trying to kind of come up with as you asked me, and then I got tripped. But that's, yeah, how would it look if it actually was an asset in your building, your practice, and your messaging?
Yeah, beautiful. So
I love the superpower word.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that you're bringing this up, because the where the intention for this questioning is coming from is really creating awareness for the client around a part of themselves, right? Like, and it's funny because she was talking about acceptance being, Dottie, you were talking about acceptance being one of your messages, right? Like accepting as a way, you know, accepting this part of herself, the sensitivity, right? So creating awareness around that.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you. Linda.
Hi. So with Dottie, there's quite a few questions that came up. So I'll just pick one for right now. Have there been moments in your life where you just jumped in without any preparation, without any concern for what your sister's done, your sister might think, your family might think, your religion might say, with anyone, you know, just where you just with abandon, you just jumped in? Has there been a moment when you've done that?
I love that.
I'm invoking the Joker from the Sacred Rhythms, but you know, that kind of energy. But so that was one question that came up.
Yeah, I love that, right? Supporting a client to create awareness, connect dots on, you know, because sometimes when we're talking about a struggle that we have, we forget and we think like, it can only be that struggle. It has always been that struggle, So asking a question is, when was a time when can start to create awareness? And then there's follow-up questions from there that you can ask.
Thank you. So,
thank you. Maya.
So my question was very similar to the first question, which of course you so eloquently reworded, but I almost lowered my hand, but then I figured I'm gonna stay on because it has maybe a slightly different perspective. My question was, as a sensitive person, what can you offer others that are sensitive and slow processors? Because I felt very much resonating with what you were saying. I was like, oh, this person is like me. As opposed to a coach that goes, yay, go, go, right? Again, the story of acceptance, what can you offer in a world of seeing somebody, hearing somebody, accepting somebody, holding the safe space for somebody who's like you?
Yeah, I love that. It's great, right? It's really this question of, you know, how, and this isn't exactly what you said, but maybe another spin on it is like, how is sensitivity part of your message? in the world, right? Yeah. And then just really helping her see how she can use that in different ways. Beautiful. You know, and I just want to kind of share. So with this question that you're bringing up, Maya, I think absolutely you could do the question without context or a different way of creating awareness beforehand. But also just to offer for everybody, there may be some value in first creating awareness in a consulting mode type of way around the fact that, you know, like traditional society may value the way that her sister is, but that's only one way, right? And there's a whole other, right? So maybe connecting verbally, you know, in a consulting way or through a question, some of those dots, and then asking the next question. For some people, it may land in a different way. Beautiful, thank you. Sharon.
Hi. Well, thank you, Dottie. That was great, been there. Sometimes still go there. So I went in a little bit of a different direction. And the question I'm looking at is what really lights you up when you're helping people? Like, what is it that you really love to help people with when you're working with them?
Yeah. Beautiful. I love it. It's like cutting out the stuck stuff and like, let's see if we can crack this nut right now, right? Which is sometimes going to be the best route to take. And I love how you did that beautiful piece of normalization before asking the question.
That's so true. Thanks, Dottie.
Wendy.
Thank you. And Dottie, thank you so much for showing up and being vulnerable for us. So really appreciate that. So the question that I have is around what you mentioned, Dottie, as what you were considering your messages. So tell me if I have this right, but I have one was spirit level truth. One was for the clients to have peace of mind. One area was acceptance. One area was confidence. So that's what I have here. And my question is, do you see that there's a clarifying thread or a concept that runs through those that really is the underlying theme for your messaging?
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, very well done. Again, similar to Sharon, just going straight in for the strategy, right? She mentioned a couple of different things. So is there a thread that runs through all of them? Or the way I wrote it down is there an umbrella idea over all of them, right? So to connect those dots. Beautiful. Thank you. Leah.
Yeah, so I was thinking along the lines, I think for me, you know, something that jumped out was kind of that fear of being judged, that like fear around, you know, of how it's going to make my business grow or not. Like if I choose the wrong thing, like being fearful to choose, kind of wanting to ask questions along the lines of like, what if, you know, what you chose, what would you choose if for your messaging, if it 100% didn't matter and wasn't going to affect, you know, the way your business grew? Or what would you choose if nobody in the world was going to judge you and everyone was going to think that choice was perfect? Like trying to just like eliminate some of those fears to like see if you could connect with the one that resonated the most without those things there.
Yes, I love those 100%. And I would just offer this little tweak, which is like, you may not, this may not even resonate with you, you know, just so I say it doesn't mean it's true, but I would almost flip how you're asking the question. So instead of what would you choose if you knew that no one would judge you for it, to flip that first with the, if you knew for sure that no one would judge you, what is the message that you would choose? Because it's like to get that safety first to open up for the thought versus the other way around. Beautiful. Thank you. Natalie.
Hi. First of all, Dottie, thank you so much for sharing, because I completely resonate with all of that. And I appreciate that that was quite vulnerable to share. So yeah, I really, really appreciate that sharing. Well, so many questions came up. And as all those questions were coming, I realized there's quite a hierarchy. So it's like, I don't want to just like jump to, like there's the creating awareness questions, there's the starting at a certain point, and then the kind of, you know, refiguring new beliefs and strategy and stuff like that. So I guess the creating awareness question that I'd like to ask, I would like to ask, is what is the payoff for staying stuck?
Yeah, zinger question. Beautiful. Yeah, really nice. A question like that can really, you know, help a client just really see more clearly, you know, what the fear is and why, right?
Yeah.
Nice. These are all such great questions. Let's hear some more. Cynthia.
Hi. Thank you, Dottie. Thank you so much. And this is very vulnerable for me, because when you said, oh, just write some questions, I just went blank. That happens to me a lot. And I get in this loop of, should I go this way? Should I go that way? Should I go that way? So the thing that Dottie said that jumped out at me when you asked her what would be possible if she got clear, Dottie, you said, I have a story that I'd be able to earn more. And I just felt like that was, even that didn't feel motivating. And I wanted to kind of work with that, because it felt like to me, it wasn't enough to get her over the fear of the judgment and everything. So what I came up with was, it sounds like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself. And I'm wondering where else that happens in your life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful question, right? You could hear it in the part that you were mentioning, but even throughout, right, we could hear that there was a lot of pressure. So kind of bringing that concept in through that question really beautifully, and then creating awareness around how this, like, it's not a singular incident, right? It's not just like the messaging, there's bigger patterning here for her. I've got a question for you, Cynthia. So first of all, thank you for coming forward, even though it's vulnerable for coming forward. I'm so happy that you did. And I hear you about the not being sure this way or that way. And I know you're not alone in that. But the question that you asked was a beautiful one. Can you just kind of trace your process back a little bit? Like, so how did you land on deciding to ask that one?
That was just the biggest thing that stood out with all the different pieces of the message. And I think because, I don't know, it just sort of felt intuitive to me. You know, like it's like, what's on the other side of the fear? So if you're up on the high dive and you don't want to jump, like, why would you? So it just seems like. And then weaving in the pieces with the comparison and being sensitive, and then her sister who's seems to always kind of hit a grand slam, so to speak. It just felt like that was the perfect storm for so much internal pressure, like to make this mean so much. I've got to pick the right thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah. So tell me if I'm getting this right. Like what I'm hearing from the words that you're sharing, and also as I'm watching you, is that you knew to ask that question because you said, you know, it stood out. Mm-hmm. And then so much of like what you said, but your body movement is like you felt it inside of you, right? You said intuitive, you felt it inside of you. So how can you apply that more when you're in the moment in your coaching sessions? Because you've got it, right? Yeah. It's there, we see it. So how can you apply that more?
I can feel what happens. So I get the feeling, I almost, like it's like a, like I heard it when she said it and it kind of went boom, like that's important. And then like in a nanosecond, I go up to my head. It's like, well, there's probably a better question.
Okay, so this, but this is great, right? Because now we have something to play with. So I want you to, if tell me if this resonates and you're up for it. I want you to watch for that feeling in your coaching. Before the nanosecond where you go to your head, I want you to be tracking for this feeling mm-hmm. and taking note of the question that's coming up when you feel that. And then note how you go up to your head, but come back to the question anyway. Play with that a little bit over this next week. Does that feel valuable?
Very. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. Naomi.
Dottie, I see you. And I really was feeling my heart go out to you with so many of the pieces you were sharing. I have three sisters. And when you spoke about your sister, I was boom, just, you know, lights are flashing for me too. And I wanted to invite you to ask yourself, what affirmations would your sister give you? I heard you say so many amazing things about your sister. And so that set out to me, like, how would your sister describe you? And what affirmations would she give you? So I'm gonna just leave it there.
Beautiful. I love it. So first of all, just such beautiful like normalization and validation and, you know, all of that, which we all need. And then so long as we know that she trusts what her sister says, the question that you asked is a spirit level of learning and processing question, because it's actually a higher wisdom question. So long that we know if Dottie values that, you know, that she can hear like through the voice of her sister, that affirmation. Beautiful.
Can I ask a follow-up question? Mm-hmm. If let's just say the client didn't trust the affirmations, would you still see that there is some great wisdom that can come through of trying to come up with those affirmations, and if they can come up.
Yeah, I think the reason why I'm saying trust is because, you know, sometimes, right? I mean, I've been through periods where I've had really funky relationship with my sister or, you know, whoever, where like in that moment, I'd be like, yeah, whatever she says is bullshit. Like, I, you know, like, or she can't be trusted or, you know, whatever it is. So yeah, it's not, am I articulating this well? So it's, I think there does have to like be this shared, you know, that the client does trust that voice, whether it's a person they like or not, or has issues with or not, if they do see that as like a voice of wisdom or a voice that they would want to integrate inside of them.
Mm, okay.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Rachel.
Hi, thank you. I'm tossing up between two questions, but I think I'll go with, I have a question around the compare and despair piece. And I wanted to ask, what would you need to know to be deeply true about yourself to no longer feel despair when you compare yourself to others or see others doing well?
Say it one more time.
What would you need to know to be deeply true about yourself to no longer feel despair when you compare yourself to others?
Yeah, I love that question. It's a great question. And I think the delivery is important in it. And what I mean is, when we have some longer questions, like that have a lot of words, the pacing is important so that we don't get lost in the middle of the question. I think you were just saying it slowly so we could all hear it, but I would almost ask, I don't know if I'm making sense, and I could be wrong, by the way, and I'd love to hear what you think about this, Rachel, or anyone else, but I was getting just I had to think a little bit about the, like, I was getting a little lost in the delivery of it. I think if you just say the words a little faster when it's a longer, when there's more words to the question, it can help sometimes.
Okay, cool. That's good.
Because it's such a powerful question. I may even, you know, and it's just like, this is fiddly, you know, whatever. So we sometimes don't have time in the moment, but I may even ask that question with fewer words. So yeah. Say it one more time.
Maybe I could try it doing it shorter.
Yeah. See if you can take some words out or do it in a shorter way. Let's hear it.
Yeah. What would you need to know about yourself to no longer feel despair when you compare yourself to others?
Say it again.
Okay. Maybe. What would you need to know about yourself in order to no longer compare yourself to others?
Yes. Yes. And you could even say in order to no longer despair and compare yourself to others as well.
All right. Is my question making sense? I'm not sure.
100%. What would you need to know about yourself in order to not compare yourself to others?
All right. Cool.
Yeah. I would probably still keep despair in there too, probably, but.
Yeah. Awesome. That's helpful. Cause I know I tend to be wordy and I also tend to stack a lot when I deliver questions. So I'm trying to get a lot.
I'm with you. I am wordy as well. It's something I have to work on.
Awesome. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. It's great. Catherine.
So many good questions. Dottie, I'm looking for you on my screen. There you are. I'm so grateful that you shared this with us. I could so relate to everything you said. And I love what everybody else has been asking. And my question for you, I might need to reword it a little bit, but is what can you enjoy about being in the inquiry about your messaging? Or how can you bring pleasure to that process?
I love that. How can you bring pleasure to that process, or what can you enjoy? Yeah. Beautiful, because there is so much we could see just that process is, you know, frustrating and fear inducing. Really nice. Good. Michelle.
Thank you, Dottie, for that. I could resonate with a lot of that, especially the stuckness around the message, because I'm in that place myself. One is a follow-up to the sensitivity. Could I just say that really quickly? Mm-hmm. How is your sensitivity? I can't read my writing because I'm left-handed, and so I'm writing right-handed. And so I'm like, what did I write? How can your sensitivity be a gift to your clients?
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And the other one is, if you could imagine working with clients without having a firmly developed message, what would open up for you?
Nice. Yeah. To take away this kind of pressure of, I need to get it right in order to work with clients. This is like the linchpin to everything, right? That might be a story.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Anika.
Hi. Like so many have shared before, I resonated with her, what did she call that? Analysis paralysis. when she started talking about that, just before she's mentioned that, I would have reflected to her, it seems like, from what I understand that you're saying, it seems that there's an everything or nothing dynamic. Does this resonate with you? And depending on how she responds, I would ask, where does this come from? Where do you think this comes from? And to find out more about it.
Yeah, I love it. It's bringing in this concept that might be operating there for her of everything or nothing.
Right. And then tie it into what Cynthia was talking. Was Cynthia? About, because there's the pressure she was talking about as well, putting she was placing a lot of pressure on herself. And to tie it into the compassion for self. An acceptance of self and acceptance of one's own rhythm, which is the very skill that she's trying to include in her message.
Yeah. So asking a question that can maybe tie that together. I want you to think, I'll come back to you if you come up with that. I want you to think of what that question is, Anika, because I think that's good too. But yes, I all of this, yes. Beautiful. Thank you. Rose.
So strangely, my hand disappeared. I had a raised hand a while ago and suddenly.
Yep.
So I want to thank you, Dottie, for this, for your topic and just everything you brought up, the fear, I was mirroring the fear of not getting it right by this process of sort of, you know, trying to ask the right question. And so I really got to witness my own disappearance into, everything you, Dottie, talked about. So, you know, and interestingly, I went to a Catholic girls' school and, you know, had lots of judgment and shame and guilt and sin, lots of things like that. So my question is, in the interest of uncovering the beliefs around underneath the having to get it right. And so I'm curious about if you actually pick the wrong message, what does it say about you? Mm-hmm. Or think of that, or do you give to that? Mm-hmm. One of the two.
Yeah, beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I, maybe even just adding a word in there, like if you were to pick the wrong message, what are you scared it would say about you?
Oh, that's better. See, that's good. That added, just that little bit added a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It's great. Maya.
Hello, I'm back again. Sorry, something popped up in my head. Similar to one of the previous questions about the sister, and very much dependent on what, as you mentioned, on the relationship. But what would you say your sister envies of your qualities or of your life?
Mm-hmm. Nice. Yeah. So another way of like turning that sensitivity piece around, or that compare and despair, right?
It's also the, I guess, trying to combat the black and whiteness, where what sister does is right, what sister is right because it's valued. And therefore, Dottie's qualities are less than for some reason, and just kind of seeing seeing the flip side or seeing the beauty in it all.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. The only like little possible adjustment I would make there, similar to what we were, Naomi and I were talking about, like depending on the relationship with the sister, but an adjustment there would be like, what would somebody with qualities like your sister envy about you?
Mm, that's lovely. Less loaded, I guess. Yes.
Good. Yeah. Thank you. Raka.
Hi. Thank you so much, Dottie, for sharing that. So many of us resonate with this. And my question, can you all hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great, because sometimes it just freezes. So my question, this is not a question that I would ask initially. So I would lead up to it, and some of the questions that I might lead up with have been shared so beautifully, like, you know, some of the suggestions from colleagues, like about the sensitivity being a gift and so on. But my question would I would use it to lead into a process that I might take my client through if they were up for it. And so I would ask, what emotion do you feel about this issue of messaging? And there may be some clarifying questions, because sometimes people aren't sure about the emotion. So there might be some more questions to clarify what that emotion is. And then where do you feel this in your body? And use that as information to take them through a process that I find helpful and that I would use in this scenario.
Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, 100%. I love that, you know, bringing them in that way and bringing them in through their body. And we'll also get to the befriend your fear process soon too, which you could, that sounds probably there's some similarities, and so we can use that too. Great. Wendy.
Hi. Dottie, you just opened up something so beautiful for all of us. So there's so many questions actually to explore here and helpful for us as well, for me certainly. So I have a question about what you mentioned about working with someone, and if your underlying theme was something along the lines of acceptance, and you are working with your client, and I'm going to say, I'm guessing you're going to align with your client, it's going to be your ideal client, then if they are triggered or activated by that, would that be an opportunity for you to work with that client and bring them into a place of new awareness? Would that be an opportunity for you to step into your power as well? Does that make sense?
Can you ask it one more time? I just want to make sure I'm getting it.
Mm-hmm. So if you are working with a client and you're working with them on their issues and underlying theme is acceptance, and the client is triggered by the conversation or insulted, right? That I see that as a possible opportunity for you to step into your power as a coach and actually create a new level of awareness for your client. So if they're triggered by something, right, then it's probably an opportunity for them.
Yes. Yeah. And would you circle, like, tell us about the intention for that question. Like, is that about helping her with the messaging, or what would the deeper intention for that question be?
For my question?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, initially the question came from a place of when you're coaching. So it's not around your messaging. It's about being in your power as you're working with clients.
I see.
So even when they come back.
So if you would have gone down that one pathway where she said she wasn't confident, that would be one of the pieces there.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Right. The question is, as a way of maybe not feeling so scared if she you know, stuff comes up, harder stuff comes up. Nice. Anika.
I hope I'm the last person to ask questions. I wanted to share a piece that came in. I was looking at it just before class, and when Dottie started talking, it just lit up. I have it right next to me, and I thought of her, and I was hoping it would be okay to just highlight it. It's one of your pages, Joanna, that I'm not sure which module it's from, but it's journaling questions to go deeper with marketing message and start uncovering your one thing. And when she spoke about not sure about her message, I thought of these questions and I'm like, she has to check this page out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. If you can either share, do you want to speak them out loud? I don't know how many there are there, or share them in the chat, or just let us know. It's from the messaging.
The marketing message.
Oh yeah, I think that, yeah, okay. Yeah, that's great. That's a great place to look.
The beginning, into the depths and advanced training on ritual shadow and facilitation. Marketing message examples and journaling questions.
Okay, great. Yeah, thank you. And Dottie, that may be the one with the octopus too. Recording
octopus.
Maybe.
I can read the questions out.
No, no, it's okay. No, no, no. I'm glad that you're throwing them in, and we can all look. Yeah, thank you. Vesica, did you want to ask a question?
Yes. Is it okay if I do it without my camera on?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So what's really been coming up for me, Dottie, thank you so much for just being really real and present with where you are and really feeling into what you are really needing right now and offering us an opportunity to support you. Joanna, I'm really, this question, I'm asking this question because I feel this deep connection to her, to Dottie's desire to really get clear on her message and who she's here to serve and how important it is for her to clear the comparison with her sister, because all of her clients, if you know, I'm just speaking from being a guide here right now. I wrote down a question and I tend to be kind of like a truth teller sometimes, and my questions sometimes come out too triggering. And I really feel this desire to really help I would want to support her to having such a big breakthrough, because I feel that the stuckness is so connected to the sister wound. And I don't know if I'm correct, but I feel it. I just feel this. And so I really want, before we get off the call, maybe I'm sure you're going to ask a question, but I want this question. I can just feel how important it is for her, because when she clears this, when this wound is cleared, it's going to open up her whole world. And so the question I wrote down, and it's just not very good, but it's, Dottie, do you feel being stuck in comparison with your sister will really help you build a successful business in the way that you want to? And it's not graceful. I don't know how to.
I don't think it's ungraceful. I'm taking it. So first of all, I love where the question is coming from. It's a yes or no question, the way that you asked it.
Yes.
And my guess is that it would be an even better question if it was not a yes or no question. So rephrase it rephrase it differently. So okay. It's not yes or no.
So how would letting go of comparison with your sister now in this moment really open up the possibility for your clarity of your message?
Mm-hmm.
And that's another one though. That's another yes or no question.
No, that's not yes or no. It started with a how.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
I just really feel like I want to be able to, and I know it's a journey and it's a process, but I just feel this like healing that can happen for all of us as we let go of comparison. And yeah, I just feel this sister healing.
Yes. Yeah, there is that sister wound of comparison. Yeah, so that's a great question. And even more confrontational question, or maybe not, I don't know, but one that might be valuable along those same lines is, how is holding on to comparison helping your business?
There, that's great.
Yeah, I'm glad you're bringing it up. Good stuff.
Thank you.
Okay, we have just a few more minutes. You all asked great questions, and it hit a lot of mine. I just want to share one or two others that might be helpful for everybody. What's the worst that would happen if you chose a message and then ultimately had to change it? What's the worst that would happen? To try to take some of that perfection out of it. What would imperfect but good enough look like here? I think we hit most of the others that I had written down. So Dottie, let's come back to you before. Oh, Linda, you've got your hand raised. Sorry, I didn't see
you. Yeah, so I just along the same vein that you were just mentioning, I had those two questions, but one was a little bit different. And that was, I would say, how often do you dance with imperfection?
Mm, nice. I love that. Yeah, so, I mean, it brings the imperfection concept in, and then the word dance kind of brings a lightness.
Yeah, the first one too is just because I felt this kind of heaviness the whole thing, so I kind of want to have a little bit more play because that's it, but just to dance with imperfection, that's it.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. I love it. All these are all so wonderful. Thank you, everybody. I know we have just 1 minute left. If you can hang on just three more minutes so we can wrap. I want to first talk to Dottie for a minute. Dottie, can you come back?
I'm here.
Hi. I didn't want, after we all spoke about you for the last 45 minutes, I didn't want to let you go without being seen and heard and expressing. Tell us one thing that you learned from all of that.
Oh, man, I learned a lot. I think I learned that my sister wound is bigger than I thought it was.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because everybody seemed to pick up on that. And yeah, there's a lot there. I mean, she's the sister that I get along best with and I adore her. And I'm like, I guess there is a wound. Yeah. And not because of her, you know, not because of anything she did, but yeah. So that's good. That's something to look at.
Yeah, for sure. Good. I'm so glad. And then I want to ask everybody just to take a moment. And I'd love to hear from some of you. What are you learning from our session today? What are you learning about questioning? What are you learning about yourself as a practitioner? What are you seeing? What feels important? Kelsey.
I really appreciated the rewording to put some context first. I have a big note in my journal. It says safety first. So the context and then the question. So it's a big takeaway for me today.
Yeah, sometimes that can be really helpful. Good. Sharon.
Yeah, that the reframes were really helpful. And you know, I think it was Cynthia, I'm not sure. Somebody said something about when you first asked us to write down our own questions going blank. I go blank a lot. And right now I'm a major allergy head. And that can be a time of blankness for me. And I just really appreciated for myself, within myself, that I just kind of, first I sat with the blankness, and then I just really tapped in again to Dottie's energy and came up with questions that I was really mostly very happy with.
Yeah. So
it was something about just like, because I've been half checked out in this call, quite honestly, because I'm just kind of like wonky headed.
Yeah.
But
yeah, allergies can do that. But what you're bringing up is really important, is like, instead of fighting against the blankness, just radical acceptance of it. You know, here it is. Okay. And then that actually helped you get to where you needed to go, right? It's just such, it's a great kind of philosophical, or I don't know what kind of concept, you know, just for us to remember in general around acceptance.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I know when, you know, obviously if I, not obviously, but when I have a client session, I can show up and ride the waves. And it's more in these kind of what I'd call the back end stuff, you know, yeah. Learning environment or something I need to show up for in my yeah. business that I can just kind of.
Yeah. Well, so that's something to play with, right? That acceptance piece. Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Julia.
Hi. The thing that really struck me today was tone. So I was listening for tone. I wasn't able to do anything else, which was really wonderful. So I got to really listen. And it informed me on just being very clear with the intention of a question. And just seeing the different ways of getting someone to their truth without triggering them, you know, by virtue of how I ask the question. So that was really, really important. Really, really important for me this week. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing this up. You know, not just the importance of tone, but what I hear in what you're saying is like, sometimes inadvertently, we may move into power over through the tone of our questions, right? And so to really be aware of that. Yeah, I think that's a point well taken. Thank you. Michelle.
For me, it's just the diversity of directions that a session can go, which is kind of, feels really good. Like, how can you go wrong? Because there's always a direction. But at the same time, there's also, but what if there's a direction I didn't go in that was really the one that was the thing that was going to help them get where they needed to go? So I just, at that point, the intuition, I feel like, comes back in. And that if I could rely on that, that whatever the issue you go with in that day can circle back around to what their main objective is.
Yes, it truly, 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 I believe this with all my heart. It is an art, not a science. There is more than one pathway that is going to yield gold. And it's that, to me, that's part of the beauty of all of it, you know? Yeah, thank you. And Maya.
I really appreciated and enjoyed the tweak that you did to my first question, where it was a little bit of, not even consulting, but a little bit of this storytelling almost, because it's a good reminder of how sometimes I think in our head question makes sense because we have walked that path, that intellectual path from the initial spark to where the question is ripe for asking. And the person that we're asking is not. So just building this like tiny container, you know, to be able to ask a question, I think to me it's very interesting, because I'm always very afraid to put extra information out to, like, for the purity of experiment to just ask the question. But I think sometimes that little preemptive storytelling is important, a bit of framework.
Yeah, yeah. It can help. It can sometimes help if it's well placed. All right, everybody, thank you so much for all that you contributed and all your presence. I'm thinking about you. Enjoy asking questions over this next week. We're off next week, so we don't have a live session. But anything that comes up, let me know in the Facebook group, and I will see you all in 2 weeks.